A story about a girl's horrific death has become an unlikely bestseller. Alice Sebold's first novel, The Lovely Bones, transcends its bleak topic, replacing horror with hope. The Lovely Bones got rave reviews and has been near the top of the bestseller list since it appeared at the beginning of the summer. From New York, Tom Vitale reports.
Alice Sebold's novel tells the story of 14-year-old Susie Salmon, who is kidnapped, raped, and dismembered by a serial killer who lives in her neighborhood. Sebold spent 5 years writing the book, but its publication eerily coincided with a rash of news reports about the abductions of young girls across the country. Elizabeth Smart, Samantha Runyon, Casey Williamson, Jennifer Short, names that became sadly familiar this summer. The irony of her novel's timing is not lost on Sebold.
I take the long haul view, which is girls have been being abducted, dismembered, and killed for years, and the statistics this summer are no higher than they were last summer or the summer before. And so, America seems to be listening to some of those stories. I mean, yes, I have reflected on the coincidence to the extent that it makes sense to me that Susie's somewhere among their number somehow.
But Sebold's book tells the story of one girl's abduction as only fiction can. The Lovely Bones is narrated by the victim from her vantage point in heaven.
My name was Salmon, like the fish, first name Susie. I was 14 when I was murdered on December 6, 1973. In newspaper photos of missing girls from the 70s, most look like me, white girls with mousy brown hair. This was before kids of all races and gender started appearing on milk cartons or in the Daily Mail. It was still back when people believed things like that didn't happen.
In Time magazine, critic Lev Grossman described The Lovely Bones as an artistic triumph that reminds us that those missing girls in the news are not just tabloid icons, but real human beings who chewed gum and kissed boys and suffered and died.
One of the things that makes this novel so important is that it arrives at such a crucial moment when we, as a culture, as a nation, have become obsessed with this story, the story of a girl who was abducted and assaulted and killed, so obsessed that we tell it to ourselves over and over again on the nightly news every time it happens. And this obsessive retelling, it's as if we're, you know, banging our heads against a wall, and we can't get past it because, you know, what these girls have experienced is so unimaginable. And what Sebold does is she lifts us over that wall and takes us to a place we weren't able to imagine on our own.
In The Lovely Bones, Susie follows the effects of her disappearance and murder on her family. From time to time, she tries to intercede to help them cope. Her brother catches a ghostly glimpse of her spirit. Her father senses that their neighbor is the killer. In the novel, the place where the living and the dead interact is called the in-between.
The idea of the in-between really came from this idea that we do live among our dead, whether we're aware of it or not, whether we admit to it or not. And I'm not talking like kind of woo-woo, Ouija board interaction. I'm just thinking as you walk down the street, you smell a smell, and it might bring you back to a place where you were once years ago with your grandfather, who is now dead. You think of your grandfather, you know, and that brings you on to a path of all these other thoughts. And that is what I mean when I say, you know, we live with our dead.
The Lovely Bones was informed by the author's own trauma as the victim of a violent crime. In 1981, as an 18-year-old freshman at Syracuse University, Sebold was savagely beaten and raped by a stranger. She chronicled that experience in her 1999 memoir called Lucky.
In the tunnel where I was raped, a tunnel that was once an underground entry to an amphitheater, a place where actors burst forth from underneath the seats of a crowd, a girl had been murdered and dismembered. I was told this story by the police. In comparison, they said, I was lucky.
Sebold says suffering the way she did set her to thinking about others who hadn't survived in the same situation and inspired the creation of Susie in The Lovely Bones. Both the novel and the memoir describe unthinkable violence with unblinking detail. Sebold says she's never been afraid to look at things that make others uncomfortable.
That's the kind of kid I was. I remember when we went to State Fair and they cut a chicken's head off. My sister closed her eyes and, like, you know, couldn't stand the memory of it. And, of course, I taunted her with that for years after that. And then when I was raped, I kind of felt like to see so many people turn away from those kinds of experiences. And for me, I just was like, you're not going to turn away. You're going to look at this. Look, 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 look. And, you know, I then, as I got older, I realized that for people to look, you have to give them a reason. You can't just hold their face to it.
One way Alice Sebold helps her readers through difficult scenes is by using language that makes every word count. Sebold has written and studied poetry all her life, and she says that sensibility infuses her prose. Towards the end of The Lovely Bones, Susie goes to a field in heaven where she meets the other victims of her killer.
I was Flora Hernandez, she said. What was your name? I told her, and then I began to cry with comfort to know another girl he had killed. The others will be here soon, she said. And as Flora twirled, other girls and women came through the field in all directions. Our heartache poured into one another like water from cup to cup. Each time I told my story, I lost a bit, the smallest drop of pain. It was that day that I knew I wanted to tell the story of my family, because horror on earth is real, and it is every day. It is like the flower or like the sun. It cannot be contained.
Alice Sebold's first novel, The Lovely Bones, is being translated and published in 19 foreign languages. The 40-year-old author says she's working on another novel now, and she feels strongly that her best work is still ahead of her. For NPR News, I'm Tom Vitale in New York.